السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. وقد قال الله تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام، most respected brothers, over the past few weeks we have been discussing one hadith of رسول پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم in which نبی علیہ السلام has mentioned that if you cannot do 8 things, then in place of those 8 things do another 8. I'm just giving you the meaning of that hadith. Then you will be equated with those people who have been able to achieve the rewards of those 8 things which we are discussing. We have gone to some extent, or we have discussed at some length, the first 2 or 3 points of that hadith. But since the audience in the majlis is different and the audience in the Jummah is different, so it could be that we are repeating some of the things, but then it is for our benefit, that it will refreshen our minds and give us the tawfiq to make amal, inshallah. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is reported to have said that those people who cannot make tahajjud salat, then they should at least stay away from all sins. Now we have discussed this at length, but even then one or two points come to mind again, and that is that if you have to look at the Quran Sharif and if you look at the Hadith Sharif, then you will come across one thing very, very clear and conspicuous, and that is that a person can only become a muttaqi, a person can only become a wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, if he gives up sins in his life. There is no doubt that great effort has to be made to bring into one's life what we term as optional ibadat, nawafil, sadaqat, etc. We have to make an effort for that too. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has kept some enjoyment, some taste in those ibadat. Even in tahajjud, a person can get enjoyment. In his zikr, he can get enjoyment. In keeping nafil fast, he can get enjoyment. What is it that makes people make tawaf of the Kaaba Sharif the whole night if they were not getting any enjoyment from it? Yet it is not farz to make tawaf of the Kaaba Sharif the whole night. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has kept some enjoyment in all these things, there is no doubt. But the true arifin, or the people who are the lovers of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, those people who have connected themselves with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, just as they get an enjoyment and a pleasure in making tahajjud, in making ishraq and chasht, in making tawaf of the Kaaba Sharif, in making umrah and hajj, in making zikr and tilawat, they also get an enjoyment when they restrain themselves from haram. For them, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives them an enjoyment when they have this in their minds and in their hearts, that we are restraining ourselves for no one else but for the sake of our beloved. This is what is in their heart. And it is natural, it is human, that when a person does something for the pleasure of his beloved, then it gives him happiness. If the person is doing something for the pleasure of his beloved, but he is not getting any happiness in it, then there is some weakness in his love. Because what kind of love is that where the person is doing something for the pleasure of the beloved, but he himself is getting no happiness in that? So here these people who have connected themselves with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala very firmly and strongly, then when they are restraining themselves also from haram, they get an enjoyment. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives them a pleasure in it. They believe that we are doing it for the pleasure of our Allah, who is our Rabb, and who is our sustainer, and who has showered so much of ni'mats upon us. So they get a pleasure. But when did they start getting this pleasure? When did they start getting this pleasure in restraining themselves from haram? Not the very first day of their lives. Not the very first day that they became mature in age and everything became farz and wajib upon them. They had to first make a mujahada. They had to make an effort. They had to reform themselves. They had to bring about a purification of this heart. They had to build up that contact with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And this is what happens in the khanqahs. In the khanqahs, people say, what happens? People go and sit. There is no question of sitting there. The whole effort that is made there is to purify these hearts. Because sometimes a person can be doing plenty of deen work. Person can be teaching the Quran Sharif in the madrasas. He can be a principal of a Darul Uloom. And he can be also doing other kinds of dawat and tabligh. But if there is no purification of the heart, then that same ibadat makes that person a shaitan. That same ibadat sometimes makes that person a shaitan if that person starts getting pride into his heart. Now this pride is also something which is a sinful thing. So when we are talking about the giving up of sins, it is not just the giving up of zahiri sins. Both things are essential. We have to give up our zahiri sins and batini sins. Sins of our outward self and sins within ourselves. Sins inside our hearts. Now at present we consider lots of things as sins. We consider gambling as sin. We consider zina, fornication and adultery as sin. We consider stealing as sin. We consider speaking lies as sin. To some extent, many people consider these things as sins. But when it comes to pride, when it comes to jealousy, when it comes to malice, when it comes to greed, when it comes to evil lust and passions, when it comes to casting evil glances at women or beardless youth with lust, then all these things, we do not regard it even as sins. Which party of ours, which meeting of ours, which breakfast and lunch and supper of ours, which walima and nikah of ours, which gathering of ours is free from these type of sins? Jealousy, envy, malice, pride, greed, these things are so apparent and so clear and so conspicuous in our lives, especially on these occasions. So now these things also, we don't regard it as sins. So who is it that will give us the prescription to purify our hearts of these type of sins? If 6 people are sick or 10 people are sick, everyone has got a stone in his kidneys. Everyone is suffering from a stone problem. Now if all of them are sick, who is going to remove the stone if none of them is a specialist? Every person is sick. Now if all are sick, then they will remain sick all their lives. There has to be somebody that will tell them that, look, this is your problem, this is your sickness, and you will have to submit yourself for an operation, and there will be some slicing, cutting, there will be some pain in the beginning, but after that you will get comfort when these stones are removed. So that is what is done by these mashayikh of ours, that they inform us where we are going off the track, where pride is creeping in, where jealousy, malice and greed is creeping in. When we are informed of this, then that person who is genuinely concerned about his islah, then he will say that I must take this bitter medicine irrespective of how difficult it may be for me to swallow. So then when this prescription is given and they take it and they find a cure, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives them a happiness in their hearts. And when they go on reforming and changing their inside self, to some extent when they make an effort of reformation and change, both outside and inside, but the inside comes very little at a time. The outside is easy. So when this inside comes right, that the person has built his contact with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala very, very firm and strong, then this person now, when he gives up haram also, he enjoys himself. The moment he restrains his sight from haram, he gets a pleasure in his heart, he gets the sweetness of iman, he gets the taste of it. These are the people who afterwards say that now we have reached that stage, as Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah alayhi said, that when I make the zikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then every hair on my body becomes a fountain of honey. Now what kind of zikr he must be making, that with one Allah he finds that every hair of his body becomes a fountain of honey? What kind of zikr must be that wali of Allah ta'ala making, who says that when I am making zikr, not literally just the saliva, the taste change to sweetness. He says it is not just metaphorical or just It's an explanation that a person gives. He says, in reality, literally in fact, I get the sweetness in my mouth. The saliva turns sweet. So what is it? It is that relationship that they build up with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So lots of efforts are being made in different directions. So we must not consider this to be an insignificant effort. We are destroying ourselves if we consider this to be an insignificant effort, if somebody is trying to connect the congregation with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, to remove from their hearts malice, greed, pride, and to build up their love for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to such an extent that after that, whatever hukam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala comes, they are prepared to follow and obey. They do not question for 1 minute. And then when they continue in that path, then young people, those who were immersed, those who were soaked, those who were drowning in oceans of sins, cinemas, theaters, gambling, fornication and adultery was conspicuous in their lives. But then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala suddenly gives them another enjoyment now, and that is when they are restraining themselves for His pleasure. So therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that if you cannot make tahajjud salat, on the day of qiyamah you will not be questioned. It is a sign of your love for Allah ta'ala that you make tahajjud. Because every lover, it is his desire to communicate with the beloved. If a lover does not want to communicate with his beloved, then there is no love at all. It is the natural desire of a lover to communicate with his beloved. All the ahkam of sharia, my Shaykh Hazrat Mullah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatum says, every hukam of sharia, if you look at it, it is the love for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that is projected therein. Take namaz, it is communication with our beloved Allah. Take zakat, it is spending for the sake of that beloved Allah. Fasting, the person is going away, doing without food and drink from dawn to sunset, for no one else but for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's pleasure. The person is going for Hajj, everything in Hajj is nothing but the love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So it is the desire of the beloved, the lover to communicate with the beloved. So therefore this tahajjud is a communication with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala when everybody else is fast asleep. But at the same time, what kind of tahajjud is that which is not restraining the person from haram during the day? If that person's beard, if that person's kurta, if the person's turban, if the person's tasbih, if the person's zikr, if the person's sitting in the khanqah, if the person's going out in jamaat, if the person's going to a darul ulum, if the person's going to a madrasa or a maktab, is not restraining that person from haram, then it shows that there is a weakness which is within the heart. And for this the person needs a specialist. Without that you cannot get treatment for it. The person cannot just read books and think that I will cure myself of all my ailments. In fact, there are so many people who were at one time very pious and very righteous in their way. They were going higher and higher. But because they did not take the prescriptions that are given by the mashayikh of pride and anger, protection against pride, protection against anger, protection against jealousy, malice, greed, then they were at one time someone, but they slided right down. Aise waise kaise kaise ho gaye, kaise kaise aise waise ho gaye. There were so many people, and we have seen with our own eyes. Many a times there are women, young girls, who will adopt the hijab, niqab, they will wear the cloak, and they will restrain this gaze from haram, and they will become very pious and righteous. But then suddenly they start looking down upon everybody. They suffer from a superiority complex. And when they get the pride in their hearts, after a few months or after a year or two, we find those same girls again, they have thrown off that niqab and hijab and cloak, and we find them again queuing up outside some cinema. In the same way, so many other people engaged in deen work, deeni activities, at one time inviting towards Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and after some time you find the person is completely off track. What is the cause of that? The cause of that is the same thing what we term as pride. That when the person begins to consider all other works as insignificant, and pride comes into the person's heart that I am doing the work of deen and everybody else what they are doing, they are cutting grass. Then after that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives that person a little bit of time, otherwise the person begins to slide in his akhlaq, in his morals, in his behavior, and then it becomes very dangerous that sometimes the person even forgoes his jamaat salat and then even namaz itself. So what I am trying to get across to you with deep-hearted sincerity, brothers, there is nothing else in my heart, alhamdulillah. I do not want any money, I do not want any gifts, nothing else, except this, that consider this as a very important thing in our lives, to give up sins, whether it is outside or inside us. Hazrat Ibrahim ibn Adham rahmatullah alayhi, the incident comes again to mind. A young person came to him and he said, "Oh Shaykh, I want to go to Jannat. I want the pleasure of Allah. But at the same time, I cannot seem to restrain myself from haram. I want to continue with this haram also, and at the same time, I want to go to Jannat also." So Hazrat Ibrahim ibn Adham rahmatullah alayhi, he could have told him that you are a stupid, you are a fool, you are a donkey, you are a monkey. Get out from here. What kind of a request you are making? But realizing that this young person, he wants to change. There is that love for Allah in his heart. There is that khawf and fear of Allah Ta'ala's azab and of Jahannam. He has got that. But there is a weakness in him. Now how to get him out of this weakness? So the Ahlullah, the lovers of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, the walis of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, they don't look down upon a person who is saying that this is my weakness. Because this person is a patient, he is sick. That doctor, what kind of a doctor he is if he looks down upon his patient, who is saying that I am sick and I want treatment and cure. So that Ibrahim ibn Adham rahmatullah alayhi tells him that, yes, I will find a way out for you. You want to commit sins, go ahead, commit sins. But do one thing, commit those sins in those places where Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not see you. Whatever sin you want to commit, go and commit it. But commit it somewhere where Allah ta'ala does not see you. So he said, "Ya Shaykh, how can I ever commit sin in a place where Allah is not going to be seeing me?" Whatever that sin is, whether it is stealing, whether it is fraud, whether it is zina, whether it is speaking lies, whether it is gambling, whether it is drinking, whether it is taking drugs, whatever it may be, all these things come under the category of sin, or whether it is ghibat, whether it is sins of the heart, malice, greed and pride. He said, "How can I commit sins when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is seeing me everywhere? If you're saying I must commit it where Allah doesn't see me, then how can I do that?" He said, "Well, if you cannot do that, then do another thing. From where do you get the strength in your body? The strength that comes in your body is from the food that you are eating, from the water that you are drinking, from all the fruit that you are eating of the trees, and from all the juices that you are drinking. Everything has been provided by Allah Ta'ala. The animals which we slaughter and we eat, who is the one that has provided us with all that?" So he says, the strength that is coming in your body is from all these sources. And it is provided by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So if you want to disobey Allah, you want to commit sins, then commit sins, no problem. But don't eat the food that has been given by Allah. Don't drink that water which Allah ta'ala has given. Now which person can then commit sins? Don't eat for a few days and see what happens. In Damascus, they say when there was drought, so people at one time with involved in so much of illicit relationships, but due to the famine and drought, people were becoming weak and sick and feeble and dying of starvation. So that at that time, one person asked the lover of his who was involved with an illicit relationship. He says that, "What would you like to have now? Would you like to have some food, or would you like me to bring your beloved?" So he said, "To hell with that beloved. I want food now." So all this masti of ours is because we are eating the food given by Allah, drinking the water provided by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and when the strength comes into our bodies, we go and commit zina, challenging Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So therefore, Hazrat Ibrahim ibn Adham rahmatullah alayhi says that if you want to commit sin, commit. But don't eat the food that has been given by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He says, "Shaykh, that I cannot do. If I'm going to do that, I will die of starvation." He said, "Well, if you cannot do that, then do another thing. That if you want to commit sin, commit it outside the kingdom of Allah. Get outside the earth, the heavens, get out of it, and then commit sins. Commit sins somewhere where Allah Ta'ala's hukumat and government is not there. Somewhere where it is not Allah Ta'ala's kingdom." He says, "Shaykh, that how can I do? Whether it is the earth or the heavens or whether beneath the ocean, anywhere I go, it is the kingdom of Allah." He said, "Well, if you cannot do that, then at the time of death, when the angels of death come, then tell those angels of death that I am not coming with you. I am not coming with you. Who are you to take my life? I am going to remain on this earth forever and ever." So he says, "Shaykh, that is impossible. How can I say that?" He said, "Well, if you cannot say that, then do another thing. That when the angels of death come into the grave and they question you there, so there you must put a notice outside the grave, entry prohibited. I'm not going to allow you to come inside. He said, Shaykh, that is impossible. How can we restrain the angels of, or angels Munkar and Nakir coming in the grave? He said, if that is the case, then on the day of Qiyamah, when Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will order the angels to throw you into the fire of hell, because your bad deeds outweighed the good deeds, then at that time you must say, oh Allah, I am not going to go into the fire of hell. I am so and so. I am not going to go in there. So this young person said, ya Shaykh, how can I ever say a thing like that? He said, well, if you cannot do all these things, then why commit sins then? Why not please that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? And if you are going to please Him, then He is going to please you too. Barbaad-e muhabbat ko na barbaad karenge, wo mere dile naashad ko shad karenge. Once the person has taken one time this pain on his heart of restraining himself from haram, then Allah ta'ala will not allow this heart to be shattered again. Now Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give this person pleasure in that heart. But first that mujahada has to be made for restraining, and this is where we fail. We say it is difficult, it's impossible. There is nothing impossible. If taqwa had been impossible, Allah ta'ala would not have made it farz. If you have to ask me, is it possible for a person to run 200 kilometers, I'll say impossible. Because I am looking at my strength and I will say it's impossible. How can a person run 200 kilometers? But we have heard and we have read and we have seen people running so much. If you ask somebody about all those feats that people have attained, which has entered into the Guinness Book of Records, then we will say it's impossible. But when a person is determined, then everything seems to become easy for that person. So here we didn't try it out. We just looked at our environment and we said that we cannot do it. It's impossible in this environment. How can a person be a wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? How can a person have that kind of enjoyment and satisfaction and peace and happiness and contentment in his heart? Impossible in these days. But what is the environment? The environment should not be changing us. We should be changing the environment. Zamana humko badal sake ye zamane mein dam nahi. Zamana hum se hai, hum zamane se nahi. What kind of human beings we are if the environment changes us? We should be changing the environment of our homes, of our businesses, and the environment around us, and make our lives according to Allah Ta'ala and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's instructions and direction. And then along the line, if we make some mistakes, some errors, we commit some sins accidentally, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is Ghafoorul Rahim. He has got the doors wide open and He's prepared to accept us. But we make no effort and we just say impossible in these days, it's not possible. Whereas in these days, when there's so much of fitnas, and as I always say, when fitnas are pouring, it's pouring. At one time we could have said that there was a drizzle, then it was raining, but now it's pouring. And everyone knows what I'm referring to, what kind of fitnas are pouring into our homes. Which person can claim that he is safe from those fitnas today? The pious and the righteous are also glued to that filth. So what I am saying is this, that Allah Ta'ala wants us to become His friends. He wants to put the crown of wilayat on our heads. And He has made it very, very easy and simple. He has not imposed upon us tremendous amount of duties. Simple little things to do. Main thing, stay away from all these temptations, all these temptations. And when we are going to stay away from those temptations, we are the ones who will enjoy peace and happiness. Because if we have committed sins after temptations, then that worries and that anxieties and that restlessness and all will grip our hearts. Then we will be running around for ta'weezes, ta'weezes, ta'weezes. Ta'weezes cannot stop the azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala coming into those homes. Can ta'weezes stop it? A person does not want to give up sins, but he wants to take a big ta'weez and put it outside his door, as if to say, now that is the security against Allah Ta'ala's azab. The ta'weez will help, the reading will help, the surahs will help, and the tasbees will help. But provided first we get rid of these sins from our lives. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give me, give you, and the entire ummah the tawfiq to fight against nafs and shaitan like lions, and to bring into our lives those a'mal which are pleasing to Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so that we may enjoy peace, happiness, satisfaction in this world, in the qabr, and in the akhirat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.